The voice of heaven says, are you sold out yet? Are you sold out yet? Have I not revealed myself to you? Have I not changed and touched? Then why do you look in another direction? Look towards me, for I am your everything. And when I am your everything, I'll give you everything. For I'm faithful to fulfill my promises. I am faithful to heal. But as my stewards, whom I gave talents to, those who utilized those talents increased, and those who did not use them, they lost what they had. My promises are according to whether you're obedient or not. I will not reward disobedience, but I will reward obedience. For I am the Lord God who holds all things, who was and is getting ready to come. Hold fast. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. Now lift your hands to heaven and surrender all again. There's none like you, Master. There's none like you. None like you. Heal your people even here today, Father. Those who are sick in body, I send your word to them to be healed. I rebuke every spirit of fear, anxiety, stress, sickness, disease, and infirmity. Every spirit of doubt and unbelief, I rebuke you now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that spirit of lust and perversion. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that new age spirit in the name of Jesus. Divination spirits, I rebuke you. And familiar spirits, I rebuke you. And I command you to loose the people of God and go to the pit right now. And I send the word of the Lord that by the stripes of Jesus, everybody's spirit, soul, and body be made whole and complete, filled with the Holy Spirit. Like-minded, heart-minded, and will-minded with Christ. We thank you, Master. We thank you for shutting the doors in our life that are not of you and opening the doors that are of you. But there are some that God is shutting himself because of your disobedience. And when you are obedient, the door will reopen. Oh, I bless you, Lord. And some will cry out and say, why? And he said, because you were disobedient. But Lord, you promised, but you were disobedient. My promises are according to your promises. Jesus, lover of our soul, redeemer of our life, sanctifier, healer and provider, establisher of our steps and of our thoughts, and the increaser of our faith. So today, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And grant us revelation, confirmation, manifestation, and rhema. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah! Would you all turn to Malachi 3? I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. Though you've birthed physically, you will begin to birth spiritually. Everybody's pregnant right now. Spiritual birthing. Birthing those things that are not as though they are. Birthing those things that God has predestined to come in at this specific time. You know, when we were worshiping Friday night, I began to see like all the air that was in the building gets sucked in to you while you were worshiping. Every breath you inhaled was darkness. And every breath you exhaled was light. And you took the whole atmosphere and destroyed darkness and brought forth the Lord's light. That place changed. And then the presence of God fell in that room. Just like he's continuing to flow now. Jesus first said that he would come through the Spirit before he physically comes. Let me share something with you. We are in such a critical time right now. Don't let anything interfere with you getting in the presence of God. The letter won't save you. The presence will. I've talked to many people who are having a hard time right now and struggling. And the only thing that can maintain you right now through the struggle is being in God's presence. And the reason why people are struggling in so many areas is because there is the stripping, the refining. And God is bringing new wine, and he's removing the old wineskin. And if you're not willing to allow him to remove the old wineskin, you won't get the new wine, and you'll stay carnal, and you won't be able to see the things in the Spirit. And God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In Malachi chapter 3, in verse 1, would you read it with me? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Now I want you to know now that the messenger of the covenant is the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and left the Spirit of Christ. So now the Spirit of Christ is the messenger of the covenant. Do you understand this? And he's the one that's preparing, because the Lord said, I will build my church on the foundation of the Holy Spirit. So we are now the forerunners of his return. That's why his presence is increasing. That's why signs and wonders are increasing. That's why people are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because it's going to be the greatest attack in all history, besides the day Jesus died and went to hell and kicked butt on the powers of darkness. It's going to be one of the greatest harvests this year. It's going to be some of the toughest battles, but the greatest victories. And you've got to fight. And if you don't know how to fight, and if you're not willing to get in a fight, those who are not in the battle will become casualties. Don't be deceived by delusions of false prosperity sucked up into the world, where the cares of the world are choking the will of God in your life. Because when this train leaves, you won't be on it. Anyone who is a friend of this world will not get on the rapture. In verse 2, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and purify of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. You know what the sons of Levi are? The priests. Those are the ones that are to take care of the tabernacle. You are sons of Levi. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former days. And I will come near to you for your judgment, and I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they did not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. Do y'all hear this? This is the message now. This is what's going on now. So what's God doing? He's refining you. He's refining you. You know, Friday night in the service, I saw angels running up to the back of his children. And they were ripping off their flesh. And I began to see spines exposed and open flesh. And he says, I'm ripping them off because I'm ripping off and causing them to want a new wineskin. Ripping them off. What was it? He was refining. And they were like running up real quick. And it was like, because if you knew what they were going to do, you would have ran. So they were coming up from behind us and ripping from the Pope. Both hands would come on top of the shoulders of individuals and just rip off the whole back of their flesh and run. Not like being awake with surgery, huh? But there was a ripping away. See, the anointing begins to separate the old from the new. And what God wants to do is, you know, if you show up for groceries with one bag, you only get that much groceries, right? But if you show up with a real big bag, you get more. So that's what God is doing. He's causing you to receive more because you're going to need it. Are you hearing? Now go to Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. The only thing that's going to help you is getting in God's presence. He's causing his people to seek him. He's causing his people to want to drink. He's causing them. In Matthew chapter 9, is everybody there? In verse 14, then the disciples of John came to him saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not? They do not fast." And Jesus, now fasting is not about eating. It's about the purpose of fasting is sanctification. It's to separate you from a period of time from the ways of the world. In the area of what you see, what you hear, what you eat. Hello? Does everybody understand that? And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. And then they will fast. But one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse." The tear is what? Made worse. "Nor do they put new wine into an old wineskin, or else the wineskins break, the wine spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskin, and both are preserved." They put what? New wine into new. Remember that teaching we did? Putting new into the new? That's what's happening. You can't put old into the new. The only thing you can do is put new into the new. And right now, if you're trying to put new wine into the old wineskin, it will bust. And you'll become dry. And you'll worship, and wonder why you can't get filled. It's because you got a leak. Do you understand that? Because the old wineskin cannot hold the new wine. Man, I'm worshiping, I'm doing everything, I just don't get it. Yeah, well, you got an open door somewhere where the old is still running in your life, and it will not allow that ripping and tearing off of the new old wineskin so you can get a new one. Because a new wineskin will always hold new wine. That's why you're going through what you're going through. What's the open door in your life? What's the emotional attachment? Where's the area where there's disobedience? What are you still holding on to the old? You know, so many people go, "Well, man, I don't get it. I've been worshiping and nothing happens." Well, there's something happening. The thing is you're not seeing what he's trying to expose. Are you hearing? Now, remember, we cannot put new into old. And you cannot put old into new. You got it? So what's happening right now, that refining is going on. That refining is going on big time. God is tearing away so that we can be filled. See, what has to happen also is that wineskin will expand to receive more wine because it's new. Go to Joel chapter 2. Today's teaching is called The Wine and Wineskin. Joel chapter 2. Praise you, Lord. Joel chapter 2. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 11. The Lord gives voice before his what?
Army.
His what?
Army.
Are you his army?
Yes.
For strong is the one who execute his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Verse 12 now. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your inheritance to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them, and I will no longer make your reproach among the nations. So what's he sending?
New wine.
It's happened. This is happening now. Now, we know it's going to happen in Israel, too. But this is happening now, right in the church. Go to verse 23. Be glad, then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. For he has given you the what? Former rain faithfully. And he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors will be full of wheat. That means rhema. And the vats will overflow with new wine. The new wine here means revelation of his presence. And oil, meaning the anointing power. Has everybody got it? So what's he going to be bringing? Rhema, revelation, and anointing power. Does everybody understand that? It's happening now. But there's a refining happening first. Total refining. Now I'll go to verse 28 while we're here. And here is it being fulfilled. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on the men servants and on the maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great day and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. And the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So we see here, these are also still signs that are coming to pass. But he's fulfilling things that have been prophesied about the pouring out of the Spirit, about the refining. So we are now in an area where there is the new fresh rhema, revelation, and the anointing power of the Christ manifesting in us. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is manifesting on earth. And that is his whole focus. Everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Turn to Acts chapter 2. Now, I want to share something with you because all of these things that are happening, we are celebrating the Feast of Pentecost tonight and tomorrow. Remember, Jesus already fulfilled these feasts. That's why we can celebrate them too now. So this is 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, the Feast of Pentecost. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And as they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, not at all these who speak Galileans." Hear the baby? He's trying to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. She knows what's happening. He knows what's happening. I'm sorry. Shoot about God something. Yes, he does. Noah. Good name for good time, huh? Amen. Praise God. Bring many souls home. Hallelujah. This time you don't have to build an ark. In verse 8, "And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medians, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, and all the rest of them." In verse 11, "Hey, I ain't stupid." "And Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking in all of our tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this be?" Others mocking, saying, "They are full of new wine." Well, you know what? They were mocking, but they couldn't see the things in the spirit because they were full of new wine. Amen. They were drunk as a skunk, man. Praying in this funny language, falling over each other, having a great time. They were like all upset. What he's doing is drinking 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, I mean, this is not a good witness. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, and I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams, on my men servants and on my maid servants," and so forth. So you know that he was quoting a scripture of Joel. But see, they thought they were drunk with new wine. But they were. But it wasn't carnal wine. It was spiritual wine. Does everybody understand it? It was what? Spiritual wine. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 4. The wine and the wineskin. Verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ or the anointing. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on what? The what? The new man with some new wine and wineskin, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away that lying garbage. Speak the truth. Submit and die. What does that say? It says it everywhere. Look in the spirit. Put on the new wine. The new wine will bring renewal. It brings like-mindedness. It brings unity. Brings righteousness. Brings holiness. It's a closer walk with the Lord. It brings more exposure that allows you to have a closer walk. It brings direction and wisdom. And it brings rhema and revelation. the new wine. All eternity is in the glass of wine that you drink daily. The new wine from heaven. That's why the more you drink of it, the more you change. The more the old man stays buried. But sometimes you got to change that wine skin to get new wine. So you'll find things begin to happen. Trials. Sometimes there's so much stuff coming from every direction. Let God deal with the directions. And you deal with your skin. Help Him tear it off. Get rid of it. Bury it. And get the new wine skin that you can get new wine. Go to Luke 10. You know, we want to know what's going on right now. Why is all this happening? Fulfilling. Fulfilling. Fulfilling His promises. In Luke chapter 10, and verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds." Now look at how he bandaged his wounds. "Pouring on oil and wine." Now would you let somebody pour oil and wine on your wounds? They'd have their own wounds when I was done. "And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him." Now, I want you to understand this, that it wasn't the Levite or the priest that helped. It was the one that was rejected that helped. See, you and I were the rejected. We were the Gentiles. Are you hearing? And now God has called us to fulfill the promise. To be the forerunners of the return of the Lord. See, the oil and the wine is going to heal many people. He poured it right in his wound. Now you are the carriers of the anointing power of Christ and the new wine of revelation and Rhema to carry to the lost. You are now the hands and feet. You are the mouthpiece of Christ. But it can't be manifested until we maintain like-mindedness. And the only way to stay like-mindedness is to stay filled. And constantly coming to the end of yourself. Where you thought you were the end of yourself, you're going to find out there's another end. And you're going to go, "Man, doesn't it ever end?" No. You're constantly coming to the end of yourself till you awaken His image and likeness. In Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 18. Hallelujah. Let's start at 14. Okay. Let's start at 13. Can I hear 12? Can I hear 12? No. Hallelujah. We have 12 over here in the corner. Okay. Can we get that? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're not religious? We'll start at 12. Somebody bought 12. And Jesus bought 12. Thank you. "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." Hello? "Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then you walk in circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Man, that new wine brings a reverence to God. It brings a fear of the Lord, doesn't it? But he says, don't get drunk on the carnal wine. Get drunk on the spiritual wine. Because the carnal wine brings false delusions. But the real wine brings revelation and rhema. Remember, Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly. He said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood, which is the wine, has everlasting life. Amen. I'm going to close with the scripture, John 2. So do you understand what's going on now? Remember, Jesus told us that he would be keeping us up to date of what's happening. The wine and the wineskin. Sounds like a play. It's a good title. Verse 1. John 2, verse 1. Are you there? On the third day, I love the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, I love this. Woman. He didn't say mom. He said woman. Man, you know what? That was a sign to mama. It was a sign to Mary that, uh-oh, he's acknowledged me no longer as mother. I'm woman. Something's up. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Now, he's talking about his crucifixion. In other words, to drink the cup of suffering. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Why? She got revelation because she was no longer mother. She was woman. Verse 6. Now there was set there what? Six water pots. Anybody know what six means? Man. Of stone. Hard stone. According to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 and 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. What's water represent? Word. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw out some now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, now, who's the bride? We are. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. Good. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. That's for me and you. He has kept the good wine until now. I love it. So start drinking it. He has kept the good wine until now. And the wine will continue to get better, better, and better. I couldn't say gooder. It just wouldn't sound right. But it will get better, better, and better. So God is going to bring you to a place where is the wine, once you are filled and you have digested this wine, it's time for another wineskin. So don't get all discombobulated when you've been filled and more trouble comes. Oh my God, I don't believe this. I just got touched by the Lord, filled, delivered, healed, and now I got more garbage coming. Praise God, get rid of the wineskin. He's going to cause you to get rid of the wineskin. Why? So you can get more wine. And it's going to go on and on until we're out of here. So get used to it. Enjoy it. And to God be all the glory. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask for your forgiveness for all grumbling and complaining when you're trying to bring us new wine and we're not willing to change the wineskin. And Lord, those that still are holding on to the old wineskin, when you're trying to bring them new wine and they can't hold on to it, they can't get filled, and they're dry as a dead bones, cause them, bring them revelation, submissive for the new wineskin, severing, expose those things, Lord, because light exposes those areas where they have got patches, where they've created their own patches on their wineskin so that the whole ripoff of the wineskin can be made new and they can be filled with new wine, revelation, rhema, and anointing power in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.